Senator Joe Manchin kills Democratic dreams of federalizing all elections, and Facebook bans Donald Trump for 2 more years. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You have a right to privacy. Defend your rights at expressvpn.com/Ben. We'll get to all the news in just one moment. First, let me remind you that now would be an excellent time for you to diversify at least a little bit into precious metals. I mean, look at what is going on right now. We had an inflation rate of 4.2% in April alone. It's the biggest bump since 2008. Higher fuel prices, higher food prices, construction costs, housing prices, inflation. It's not just coming, it's already here. If you haven't protected your savings and your investments, you're making a mistake. At the very least, you should diversify a little bit to make sure the government isn't going to inflate you out of your savings. So I'm going to tell you again, if you haven't reached out to Birch Gold to diversify part of your IRA or 401k into a precious metals IRA, go ahead and do it today. Text Ben to 474747. Get a free information kit on protecting your savings with gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. They have an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless 5-star reviews, over 10,000 happy customers. Talk to them. Have them help you safeguard your investments. Ask all of your questions, then take some of your money and put it in some precious metals. I'm not saying take all your money and put it in gold bars and bury it in the backyard. I'm saying you need some money in precious metals in order to hedge against what is about to happen. Text Ben to 474747. When you make a purchase before June 30th, Birch Gold will send you a signed copy of my book, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps for free while supplies last. Again, text Ben to 474747. Protect your savings today. Text Ben to 474747 to get started. Alrighty. So I have to start today with a piece of sad, sad news. That piece of sad news is that despite the best attempts of the Daily Wire's Matt Walsh, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez's abuelita is still living in poverty. So you'll recall that last week she tweeted out, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez did, about her grandmother living in Puerto Rico and her roof caving in. And then she blamed Trump and the policymaking in Puerto Rico. Now, we could get into the policymaking in Puerto Rico, who's really responsible for the distribution of resources in Puerto Rico, how it was kind of Democrats in Puerto Rico who left millions of water bottles on the tarmac to just become completely useless and all of this. But instead, one question that a lot of people were asking was, why exactly is Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, who literally leased a Tesla apparently last month, why is she complaining about the living conditions of her grandmother when she could, you know, help out her grandmother? And Matt Walsh was one of the people who actually tweeted out about this. And so she had tweeted out, just over a week ago, my abuela, grandmother, fell ill. I went to Puerto Rico to see her. My first time in a year because of COVID. This is her home. Hurricane Maria relief hasn't arrived. Trump blocked relief dollars for Puerto Rico. People are being forced to flee ancestral homes and developers are taking them. Okay, and this prompted, again, some people to say, Alexandra, you apparently just, you just leased a $59,000 Tesla because you got caught in mid-May parking in a restricted slot. And also, she has this really, really nice apartment, like this super nice apartment. She's doing fine, right? So Matt Walsh had tweeted out, shameful that you live in luxury while allowing your own grandmother to suffer in these squalid conditions. Okay, and then she got mad at him and she tweeted back at him. So Matt did what any generous conservative would do, and he started a GoFundMe for AOC's grandmother. And he tweeted out, as you've heard, AOC's abuela is living in a dilapidated home that was ravaged by Hurricane Maria. AOC is unable to help her own grandma for whatever reason, so I have set up this GoFundMe campaign to save her home. Please give, if you can, #HelpAbuela. Okay, well, within hours, like 4 or 5 hours, almost 6,000 people had pledged money to help AOC's grandmother, raising over $100,000. Then the fundraiser was shut down because somebody, presumably from AOC's office or inside the family, conveyed to GoFundMe that they weren't going to take the money. So she then tweeted out, my abuela is okay, but instead of only caring for mine and letting others suffer, I'm calling attention to the systemic injustices you seem totally fine with having a U.S. colony. Okay, this did result in one of the greatest headlines of all time. Okay, this is the headline from the UK Independent. You ready? Right-wing blogger launches GoFundMe for AOC's grandmother in latest personal attack. No attack quite like trying to hand somebody $100,000. Man, normally when they say anti-Semitic attacks, they mean somebody getting beat down the street. But I mean, if somebody wants to attack me in anti-Semitic fashion by giving me $100,000, that sounds kind of okay to me. Just terrible. Horrifying. I can't believe it. So Walsh then tweeted out, someone in AOC's abuela's family told GoFundMe she won't take the money, even though AOC previously claimed her grandmother was in dire straits and it was Trump's fault. AOC still hasn't acknowledged this effort or thanked us. Here's the email from GoFundMe, and then he provided a screenshot. So, sad news. The attempt to help AOC's grandmother was unavailing. So her grandmother presumably is still living in the same sort of dire poverty, unless AOC has decided to redistribute some of her own money to her grandmother and maybe skip a Tesla payment or two. All right. Meanwhile, the big news of the weekend is that Joe Manchin may have just ended Joe Biden's presidency. So Joe Biden's presidency is deeply reliant on two swing senators, particularly Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema. Sinema is in Arizona, which is a purple state, and Manchin is in the reddest state in America. Manchin is a Democratic senator from West Virginia. He's an aberration electorally. He won his last race pretty narrowly in West Virginia. Donald Trump won that state by 39 points. Okay, it's the reddest state in America in terms of presidential politics. And yet it has this Democratic senator who's really sort of a holdover from prior generations, because West Virginia used to be a reliably Democratic state for a very long time. It only shifted red in the last few election cycles. Okay, so Manchin's sort of a holdover there. And because Manchin is a Democrat, the Democrats have the majority. And right now, the Senate is split 50-50. The Republicans should have been able to take one of two seats in Georgia, but they failed to take one of the two seats in Georgia, largely because President Trump decided to talk about how Georgia's elections were all skewed and all this, and Republicans in rural areas didn't show up and vote. So you ended up with two Democratic senators in Georgia, which is unthinkably stupid. And instead, you end up with a Democratic majority. But that Democratic majority is really fragile in the Senate. And it's particularly fragile because, again, Joe Manchin knows where his bread is buttered. He knows what state he represents. And he is not going to move along with this radical Biden agenda. So Joe Biden was he had basically one of two choices. He was forced into this choice. Choice number one, he could pursue a more moderate agenda that would pick up a few Republican votes. Plus, it would have Sinema and Manchin on board most of the time. Or he could run directly to the radical left, and he could try to apparently leverage Manchin and Sinema into doing his bidding. Well, yesterday, it became clear that Joe Manchin was not going to allow Joe Biden to do the latter. Joe Biden has been trying it. Just last week, you'll remember that Joe Biden got up in the middle of a speech and started ripping on his own senators. He suggested that Manchin and Sinema should go along with the killing of the filibuster so that they could ram through a $6 trillion budget. So they could ram through a $2 trillion infrastructure package. And H.R. 1, which would completely federalize all election procedure and make it much easier to push ballot harvesting and voter fraud. And he was going to push Sinema and Manchin into the corner over all of this. And Manchin and Sinema have repeatedly said over and over and over, no one's going to put baby in a corner. We're not doing this. We are not. And Democrats, it is amazing in American politics how voters nationally, because every issue has now been nationalized, the base of the party is out of alignment with the reality. Okay, the base of the party of the Republican Party will look at senators like Susan Collins in Maine and will go, oh, she's so terrible. Somebody should primary her. Neglecting, of course, that if you primary Susan Collins, there's a very, very good shot that the person who replaces Susan Collins is a Democrat. Meanwhile, you have Democrats doing the same thing with Manchin and Sinema. They're like, oh my God, look at these why do we even bother having Democrats in these states? Good question. Go for it. Seriously. Primary Manchin with somebody from the AOC wing. Primary Sinema with somebody from the AOC wing of the party and see how that goes for you. Those seats will flip Republican again. So, you could work in line with the reality, or you could just complain about reality and force the people in your own party over to the other side of the aisle. You want to have Manchin switch parties? This is a very, very good way to do it. We'll get to how Joe Manchin is killing Joe Biden's progressive dream in just 1 second. First, let's talk about the fact that if you're a responsible human being, you really need to get life insurance. You need to make sure that your family is taken care of. Between Father's Day, Flag Day, National Yo-Yo Day, a lot going on in the month of June, but Policy Genius makes it easy to cross life insurance off your to-do list this busy month so you can get back to the yo-yoing. If someone relies on your financial support, whether we're talking a kid or an aging parent or even a business partner, you do need life insurance. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius, which means $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius, they work for you. They don't work for the insurance companies. So they will help you out every step of the way. And if you want to get started, it's really simple. You go to policygenius.com/Shapiro. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need. You can compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you are ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and the scheduling for free. Policy Genius won't sell your information to other companies. Policy Genius doesn't add on the extra fees. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro. Get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and very important to get it right. Okay, so there is something to the strategy that is pushed by the radical progressive Democrats if they believe that their agenda is actually politically popular, right? And that is, okay, fine. So we lose the seats in West Virginia and we lose the seats in Arizona, but our agenda is so popular nationwide that we're going to pick up seats in a bunch of other places. But here's the problem. Their agenda is not that popular, which means they're relying on this bare bones majority to push through a bunch of progressive policies, and that bare bones majority is not going to hold. And Joe Manchin made that clear over the weekend when he wrote for the West Virginia Gazette Mail that he was not going to vote in favor of H.R. 1, which is this bullcrap For the People Act. So the For the People Act, again, is a wild federalization of all voting procedure. It violates the Constitution. It sucks up all local voting procedure into the federal level and then bars states from, for example, pushing voter ID. It bars states from preventing ballot harvesting, which I think is the most egregious voting practice in America. This is the practice where you're allowed to go door to door and pick up people's ballots from them. You want to talk about the possibility of voter fraud? How about you pay somebody to go pick up Democratic votes? I mean, that is about as easy a voter fraud mechanism as exists in America today. And it wouldn't take very much, right? All you'd have to do is go to somebody's house who's a member of your own party. You knock on the door. You say, did you get your absentee ballot in the mail? They say, yeah, sure. And you say, well, did you fill it out? They say, not really. And you say, would you like me to help you with that? Right? The possibilities for voter fraud and voter intimidation and pressure are nearly endless. And Democrats were trying to federalize that entire procedure. They're making voting significantly less certain. Right? And it's not about broadening the capacity to vote. Everybody has the capacity to vote right now. We just had an election in which 155 million people voted. The turnout in minority communities remains extremely high. And yet Democrats, it's so funny. Democrats keep saying, look at these Republicans with their voter integrity bills. They're only doing this because Trump is whining about voter fraud and all of this. Yeah, well, here's the thing. Your guy just won purportedly by 7 million votes, right? Joe Biden won by 7 million votes in the popular vote. Not purportedly. He actually won by 7 million votes in the popular vote. And you are complaining that there is voter suppression going on? How? Explain. And on the basis of that, you're going to violate the Constitution and federalize all voting procedure. Okay, so Joe Manchin's like, we're not doing this. He writes, the right to vote is fundamental to our American democracy, and protecting that right should not be about party or politics. Least of all, protecting this right, which is a value I share, should never be done in a partisan manner. During my time as West Virginia's Secretary of State, I was determined to protect this right and ensure our elections are fair, accessible, and secure, not to benefit my party, but all the people of West Virginia. For example, as Secretary of State, I took specific actions to establish early voting for the first time in West Virginia in order to provide expanded options for those whose work or family schedule made it difficult to vote on Election Day. Throughout my tenure in politics, I've been guided by the simple philosophy our party labels can't prevent us from doing what is right. Unfortunately, we are now witnessing that the fundamental right to vote has itself become overtly politicized. Today's debate about how to best protect our right to vote and to hold elections is not about finding common ground, but seeking partisan advantage. Whether it is state laws that seek to needlessly restrict voting or politicians who ignore the need to secure our elections, partisan policymaking won't instill confidence in our democracy. It will destroy it. As such, congressional action on federal voting rights legislation must be the result of both Democrats and Republicans coming together to find a pathway forward, or we risk further dividing and destroying the republic we swore to protect and defend as elected officials. Democrats in Congress have proposed a sweeping election reform bill called the For the People Act. This more than 800-page bill has garnered zero Republican votes. Why? Are the very Republican senators who voted to impeach Trump because of actions that led to an attack on our democracy unwilling to support actions to strengthen our democracy? Are these same senators, who many in my party applauded for their courage, now threats to the very democracy we seek to protect? The truth, I would argue, is that voting and election reform that is done in a partisan manner will all but ensure partisan divisions continue to deepen. So Manchin's making a pretty easy point here. He's saying, listen, it's not just Ted Cruz who's not voting for this, or Josh Hawley. Susan Collins isn't voting for this. Mitt Romney isn't voting for this. Right, the most moderate Republican senators are not voting for this. So, says Joe Manchin, with that in mind, some Democrats have again proposed eliminating the Senate filibuster. They've attempted to demonize the filibuster and conveniently ignore how it has been critical to protecting the rights of Democrats in the past. As a reminder, just 4 short years ago, says Manchin, in 2017, when Republicans held control of the White House and Congress, Donald Trump was publicly urging Senate Republicans to eliminate the filibuster. Then it was Senate Democrats who were proudly defending the filibuster. 33 Senate Democrats penned a letter to Senators Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell warning of the perils of eliminating the filibuster. It has been said by much wiser people than me that absolute power corrupts absolutely, says Manchin. Well, what I've seen during my time in Washington is that every party in power will always want to exercise absolute power absolutely. Our founders were wise to see the temptation of absolute power and built in specific checks and balances to force compromise that serves to preserve our fragile democracy. So he says, I'm not going to kill the filibuster just to push forward an act that is going to garner zero Republican support. And he's right about all of this. But this does spell doom. It may be that Biden has had his high watermark in terms of legislative accomplishments, that whatever he was going to get done, he basically got done already. That giant stimulus bill, which is not a stimulus bill. It's actually just inflating the currency right now. That's all that's happening. It's just inflating prices. That giant, quote unquote, relief package may be the biggest thing that he is able to achieve here. Now, he's pushing things like this giant infrastructure package. There's no guarantee that Manchin or Sinema are going to vote for a $2 trillion infrastructure package or kill a filibuster in order to do so. Manchin has suggested he's not a fan of it. There's no guarantee that they're going to get certainly a $6 trillion budget through a Congress that is split 50-50 in the Senate. And again, instead of Biden taking the Clintonian tack and tacking to the center, Biden seems like he wants to double down on stupid here. And he sort of boxed himself in because the sort of rhetoric that they have used, the Democrats, with regard to voting, suggests that if they cave to Sinema and Manchin and provide some sort of compromise bill that, for example, shores up voter ID, but also broadens early voting, that if they did that, their own base would kill them. Their own base would come after them. Right? They've moved so far out on the limb with their rhetoric that this is all Jim Crow kind of stuff, that to be seen complicit in that is death for their base. So now they're caught between a rock and a hard place, sort of the same way the Republicans, who are also nursing a very fragile majority in the Senate and thus weren't able to get a lot done, but had also promised the world to their base, were stuck between a rock and a hard place with their own base. Now Democrats are experiencing the same thing. And people like Barack Obama are continuing to push it. Now, here's Barack Obama over the weekend suggesting that Republicans are rigging the game in terms of voting. Okay, what that suggests is that Manchin and Sinema are the villains and that they need to somehow be held to account. Well, good luck with that, gang.
This really has to do with the basic rules by which we all have agreed to keep this diverse, you know, multiracial democracy functioning. Are we going to stick to those rules or are we going to start rigging the game in a way that breaks it? And that's not going to be good for business, not to mention not good for our soul.
Okay, not good for our soul. By the way, Barack Obama talking about our soul is always a laugh, considering how he corrupted American politics in order to foster his own power. It's pretty astonishing. And when we talk about rigging the rules of the game, recognize that's what H.R. 1 is. It is a giant rigging of the rules of the game. I'm sorry, but massive early voting is also rigging the rules of the game because you are rigging in advance how people are going to vote. Okay, the idea that you are voting 3 months in advance of an election before any of the news has broken is a bad policy. It is a bad idea. DNC chair Jamie Harrison is very upset with Joe Manchin. Here he was ripping on his own senator yesterday.
I'm very disappointed in Senator Manchin's decision. And obviously, I disagree because, listen, I know he wants to protect democracy, but there will be no democracy if we don't protect the rights to votes of all Americans. You know, Alex, there's only one party in this nation right now that has over 350 plus bills in order to suppress and encumber the rights of voters in this nation. Only one party right now that is trying to cut hours in which people can go vote. Change the standard by which courts look at elections and determine whether or not there's fraud in elections. Only one party that is allowing political goons to go and try to intimidate voters at the precinct. And that's the Republican Party. This is not a both sides issue.
Okay, so again, he's ripping on his own senator and basically putting himself in a position, Jamie Harrison, where if you don't oppose your own senator, if you don't rip on your own senator, now you're a racist, right? You're in league with the evil Republicans. Now, to debunk what he's talking about here, this notion that you are somehow restricting the right to vote by not allowing the emergency conditions of the pandemic to be the new normal is absurd on its face. And we had record voting in 2008. We had very high voting in 2012. Voting fell off in 2016 because people didn't like either candidate. And we had record voting in 2020. The notion that people are having their vote suppressed in the United States is just a lie. There is more evidence of voter fraud in the United States than there is evidence of voter suppression in the United States. There's not a ton of evidence of either. But there's better evidence that voter fraud is easy and available than that voter suppression is easy and available. Okay, Democrats, keep pushing this. You know, keep humping that dead horse. I mean, seriously, just keep doing it, guys, because you're alienating your own senators. Here's Jennifer Granholm, the energy secretary, ripping on Joe Manchin for not supporting the infrastructure package.
Due respect, Madam Secretary, but you didn't answer my question because the question is, would Manchin vote for a bill if it's just Democrats? And you said he would vote for it if it's bipartisan.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know of any Republicans who are willing to vote for this
preference.
Yet. Yeah, well, not just preference. That might be his line, though, right?
Right. Of course, that's his line. And you'll have to ask him about where his ultimate bottom line is. But I know that he sees the faces of people who need these investments too.
Okay, so she's saying she's not sure if Manchin, look, Manchin is going to be the swing vote. He always was. The question was whether he's going to kill the filibuster. It's clear he's not going to. This means that Democrats cannot pass any substantive bill outside of reconciliation. Reconciliation is a budget procedure. Democrats have already used one of their, they're supposed to have two per year. They already used one on the American Relief Bill, okay, which again has been a complete boondoggle. They have one left, okay, and they're probably going to end up using it on raising corporate taxes, we'll get to in a little while. So they're not going to have it for infrastructure. They're not going to have it for H.R. 1. It wasn't applicable to H.R. 1 anyway because it's not a budgetary bill. So Democrats are in some trouble here. The Biden administration, they don't have a lot of substance left out there except for raising taxes. That's pretty much it. Raising taxes and spending some more. That is all that is left of their agenda. They're sort of world-breaking, let's change social policy in the United States via legislative policy. That's not on the table anymore. This administration could have seen its high watermark already. And you know who's saying that? The folks at the New York Times. Quote, Democrats defeated President Donald J. Trump and captured the Senate last year with a racially diverse coalition that delivered victories by tiny margins in key states like Georgia, Arizona, and Wisconsin. In the next election, they cannot count on repeating that feat, a new report warns. A review of the 2020 election conducted by several prominent Democratic advocacy groups has concluded the party is at risk of losing ground with Black, Hispanic, and Asian American voters unless it does a better job of presenting an economic agenda and countering Republican efforts to spread misinformation and tie all Democratic candidates to the far left. By the way, tie all Democratic candidates to the far left. We don't have to tie anything. You guys are doing it yourselves. You're attacking your own moderate senators. You have the president of the United States attacking the two moderate senators in your coalition. I don't have to do anything. I don't even have to say anything. All I have to do is stand here and point, like Donald Sutherland at the end of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I just point at you. That's it. Republicans don't have to spread misinformation. All they have to do is spread information. The 73-page report obtained by the New York Times was assembled at the behest of Third Way, a centrist think tank, and the Collective PAC and Latino Victory Fund, which promote Black and Hispanic candidates. The document is all the more striking because it is addressed to the victorious party. In part, the study found Democrats fell short of their aspirations because many House and Senate candidates failed to match Joe Biden's support with voters of color. Those constituencies include Hispanic voters in Florida and Texas, Vietnamese American and Filipino American voters in California, and Black voters in North Carolina. You know why? Because you keep going wild to the left. You keep going wild to the left. And yet the Democrats have shown no appetite to move back to the center. We'll get to that in just one second. First, let's talk about the best clothing on the market. I'm talking, of course, about Cuts clothing. Okay, I will admit to you freely. When I get some nice clothes, I tend to get like a lot of that piece of nice clothing and then just wear that all the time. Cuts is the only t-shirt I will wear. It is that good. The sport of business means demanding excellence from your craft and wardrobe. Your fits need to be versatile, blending timeless style and comfort so you look as good as you feel. For that, there is Cuts clothing. Cuts has taken a classic men's fashion staple, the plain tee. They've refined it, combining premium quality with a minimalist aesthetic. Cuts shirts, polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts are made for the man who works hard, plays hard, and never settles for less, all in the sport of business. Take a plain tee but make it Tony Stark. The bleeding edge of fabric technology meets the man confident enough to wear Cuts clothing. It is the perfect t-shirt, and they also have the new Cuts hoodie. They've developed Hyperloop French Terry fabric. It's a texture that's temperature controlled and ageless. Or try the wrinkle-free Pika Polo, a design that keeps you fitted for the office, golf course, at home, the gym, or your next hot date. Cuts is premium with a purpose. I'm telling you, this clothes, they really are amazing. Like, I only wear Cuts polos. I really only wear Cuts t-shirts. They're just that good. It's not just a lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It is office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Shapiro. That is cutsclothing.com/Shapiro for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing, cutsclothing.com/Shapiro. Okay, so meanwhile, the Biden administration continues to push forward extraordinarily radical plans, particularly when it comes to economics. Now, what they are doing internationally is attempting to push all other countries into setting a sort of floor so that we can move above the floor. So Joe Biden knows full well that his garbage tax policy, like he's pushing corporate taxes up to 28%. Now, he knows that if he gets that done, every corporation in America that has the capacity to do so will think about offshoring. They'll think about reorganizing outside the United States of America. Right, because this happened a lot during the Obama administration. There's a tremendous acceleration during the Obama administration because you just reorganize in another Western European country. So Biden has decided to combine with all of the progressive left politicians in Europe in order to foster a corporate baseline tax rate. Now, the only reason that these other countries would do that is presumably because they think that they will still have some sort of advantage over Biden. I understand that if they set the international baseline corporate tax rate at 15% and Biden goes to 28%, he's still almost doubling it. So what they're figuring is, okay, well, this is still pretty good collective action for us, because if we all go to 15% and I'm Germany and I can get France to do that, well, then I guess people won't shift their corporate headquarters to France as opposed to Germany. So we'll use Biden leveraging us as a way to still continue to have an advantage over the United States, but we'll get credit from Biden and we'll prevent all the other European countries from apparently basically gaming the system. But Joe Biden, meanwhile, is making it harder to do business everywhere. He's trying to leverage. By the way, there are a lot of other countries on planet Earth. You're about to see if any country is smart out there that is outside of the G7, they're immediately going to lower their corporate tax rate to almost zero. And everyone will immediately start to reorganize in that country. According to CNN, the Group of Seven finance ministers gathering in London agreed Saturday to back a global minimum tax of at least 15% on multinational companies. The G7 group also agreed the biggest companies should pay tax where they generate sales, not just where they have a physical presence. So in other words, if a French company sells product in the United States, they'll have to pay the United States tax. Right? This is going to lead to all sorts of serious complications, by the way, because, again, how do you even gauge? I mean, now you're gauging it from point of sale. So you have to determine whether you think that you're going to make more money by exporting to the United States or not exporting. It's a de facto tariff, because eventually what you're going to end up with is, if the United States has a higher tax rate on these corporations than does France, for example, then companies are just going to stop exporting to the United States as much. They're going to look for other markets, emerging markets. Meanwhile, that is a domestic boon for American companies, presumably. It's a de facto tariff. It makes it much harder for consumers to get products that they want to get at the prices they want to get them in the United States. Taxpayers end up paying the price on all of this. UK Finance Minister Rishi Sunak announced the agreement in a video posted on Twitter Saturday, saying the G7 finance ministers, hailing from Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the UK, and the United States, had reached a historic agreement to reform the global tax system to make it fit for the global digital age, and crucially, to make sure it's fair so the right companies pay the right tax in the right places. Okay, right there is defined as progressives get to tell you what to do. The agreement was made during a G7 meeting of finance ministers in London, attended by Janet Yellen. Yellen said Saturday the agreement was a significant, unprecedented commitment from the world's richest economies aimed at preventing companies from avoiding taxes by shifting profits overseas. Because again, by the way, corporate profits, that's double taxation, because all that stuff gets passed down to you in the form of dividends, or in the form of wealth that is passed on generationally, or in the form of income, right? Because most of us work for corporations. Tech giants such as Apple, Facebook, and Google might be affected by the agreement. Foreign governments have long complained large digital companies should pay them more in taxes. Some have recently passed taxes specifically for targeting revenue generated by such companies, including those based in the United States, like Facebook, Google, and Amazon. Nick Clegg, of course, of Facebook, whose main job is to please the Biden administration, said they're happy about this. This is what people don't understand about these major corporations. They understand that Facebook, over at Facebook, Nick Clegg understands Facebook will survive the global taxation. It is the smaller competitors who are going to pay the price. We now live under the rule of corporatism, cronyism, right, in which these giant corporations work hand in glove with the government in order to enshrine their own power. And if they have to pay a little bit more in tax to make sure their competitors can never rise up, they do it. Google said it strongly supported the work done to update international tax rules and hopes countries continue to work together to ensure a balanced and durable agreement will be finalized soon, said Google spokesperson Jose Castaneda. A spokesperson for Amazon also embraced all of this. Okay, so again, there are a couple of countries that want to undercut this. Ireland is one of them because they offer a corporate tax rate of just 12.5%. This is what smart countries will do. If you're not a member of the G7, lower your corporate taxes now and get ready for the money to flow in. All of this is not going to be good for the United States economy. Raising taxes sucks money out of the entrepreneurial sector and into the pockets of giant government bureaucrats who then spend the money on stupid garbage, which is why you have low growth rates across the West for the last several decades. Okay, but Joe Biden is delusional. He said, our plan is working. Except it's not. Here is Joe Biden having to announce last Friday that his economic plan is working, despite the fact that, again, we had a third straight month of underperformance, economically speaking. Right? We had March, which was a big job month, and then was revised downward. It was like 900,000 jobs revised downward to 770,000 jobs. Then we had April, which missed by 750,000 jobs. And then we had May, which missed by 100,000 jobs. And this is, again, because Joe Biden's economic policy is garbage. And yet here was Joe Biden stumbling and bumbling his way via his war with the teleprompter to the notion that his plan is working.
We have a chance to seize on the economic momentum of the first months of my administration, not just to build back, but to build back better. This much is already clear. We're on the right track.
That is not clear.
Our plan is working.
Nope.
And we're not going to let up now.
Nope.
We're going to continue to move on.
Okay, so even the folks at the Washington Post who are just cheerleading him, they said, you know what? Maybe we'll get back to where we were in terms of jobs by the end of 2022. Now, you may have noted that it is now June of 2021. That's insane. His plans are not working. He's gone back to the same slow growth strategies that were pursued by Barack Obama. Hamstring major corporations, threaten them with post facto taxation, threaten them with global taxation, raise the spending. I mean, these economic plans are not, in fact, working. He's taking credit for a natural economic boom that he himself is suppressing. It's amazing to watch the gaslighting, right? Joe Biden said that we are experiencing historic jobs progress. Okay, no, we're experiencing historic jobs progress because we had the economy put into an artificial coma for a year. It was an induced coma for a year, and now we're coming out of that. You don't get to take credit for us coming out of that when you are doing your best to make sure we never come out of it.
This is progress, historic progress. Progress that's pulling our economy out of the worst crisis it's been in 100 years. And it's testament to the new strategy that is growing this economy, not only growing it, but growing it from the bottom up and the middle out. Remember, when I took office in January, our economy was in a tailspin. Job growth had stalled. COVID was raging. Average initial claims for unemployment insurance were over 830,000 per week. Now those claims have fallen below 430,000, about half of what they were when I took office.
Okay, we had a reduction in the labor force participation rate in the United States. When he says build back better, how about this? How about we just build back to where we were before all this stuff happened? You know, 3.6% unemployment rate and rising wages. How about that? Build back better. It's all an excuse for them to push bad policy. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. First, let us talk about the fact you don't want to be going to the auto parts store now or ever. Why would you want to? You stand in line. You finally get to the front of the line. They ask you a bunch of questions. You have to look it up on your phone. Finally, you get the answers. And they're like, oh yeah, let me check the back. They come back out. Don't have the part. We're ordering it online and we're upcharging you by 35%. Or you could just go to the interwebs and skip the middleman. RockAuto.com is so much easier than doing any of that stuff. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing their prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same exact parts? They're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand's specifications and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Shapiro in there, how did you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you. Again, RockAuto.com. Go check them out right now. That's RockAuto.com. You'll get the lowest available price and you'll get the best available part. RockAuto.com. Write Shapiro in there, how did you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you in the first place. Okay, so meanwhile, Joe Biden's labor secretary is just fibbing. So his labor secretary, Marty Walsh, he says, you know what? It's not that we're paying people to stay home that's keeping people home. That's pretty much their answer over at the Biden administration. Here we go.
President Biden's plan is working. We're going to continue to move forward here. We saw growth in hospitality and leisure and restaurants, the largest growth for the last 2 months, and that's a good thing. A lot of the restaurants and businesses that were saying that people weren't coming back to work because of the $300 are actually in those industries, and we're seeing those industries coming back, which is a great thing to do for our country, to see those industries coming back, seeing hospitality come back, seeing travel come back. It's great to see that.
Okay. Yeah, except for the fact that people aren't coming back and people are having to incentivize people to even come in for interviews. You know who's admitting this much, by the way? New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy. So New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is a terrible governor. He also is a radical Democrat. He's one of these shut down, insane governors who decided that every single thing in his state would need to be shut down until basically forever. He fully admits that payments are keeping people at home.
I think it's a combination of things, Stephanie. I think it's more time on the clock. I do support Jason's comments that this is temporary to some degree. Perhaps it's due to that somewhat to the $300 premium. I think that may be part of it, but I actually believe it's a combination of things. I think it may be daycare. We're not entirely full on in school, so you've got some realities of taking care of your kids. I think you've got folks who are scared still to get back into an indoor setting.
Okay, nope. We have all of the same provisions that we had before the pandemic, right? We have the same exact daycare centers that are now open. They were open before the pandemic. And yet you're at least they're acknowledging the reality. Here's one area where he won't acknowledge the reality, Right? There's the reality that Democrats know about, and then there's the reality they will acknowledge. The reality that they know about is that when they raise taxes and make it harder to do business, businesses don't do business. And then there's the reality they will acknowledge, which is maybe sometimes that's true, but we're going to pretend it's other things. So here was New Jersey Governor Murphy saying people aren't leaving New Jersey because of high taxes. Of course they are. I know people who have left New Jersey because of high taxes. I left California because of high taxes. Here's Phil Murphy saying a perfectly idiotic thing.
It turns out people, in fact, are not leaving New Jersey. The census showed that we gained many hundreds of thousands over the last decade. And in the past year alone, somewhat due to the pandemic, by the way, a lot more people are coming than leaving. That does not mean that we don't care about cost of living or the price you pay to live in a state that we think is the number one state in America to raise a family. I would just say when you're the densest state in the nation, which we are, in the densest region in the nation, in the Northeast Corridor, with a more than our share of legacy assets, any infrastructure program, we are a huge winner.
Okay, nope. Yeah, Democrats, again, refusing to acknowledge the reality. So fine, keep it up, guys. Don't acknowledge the realities. Keep pushing radical spending and taxation policy. Keep pushing more of this critical race theory nonsense that you guys have been pushing and see how it works out for you. Seriously, and alienate the two moderate senators in your coalition at the same time. It's going to go great. Now, the good news for the Democrats is they can always count on the love of the media. So Brian Stelter had on Jen Psaki over the weekend, CNN's reliable sources, and he could ask her anything, right? Anything. I mean, right now, the White House has been promulgating misinformation about the economy. The White House has been promulgating misinformation about COVID. The White House has been lying about the role of China, and they've been prevaricating about what they plan to do with regard to China. He could ask, you know, about all or any of those things. Instead, here's how the media act. Like, this is just such a window into how the CNN media treat their bosses over at the Democratic Party. Because let's be frank about this. They're a propaganda wing for the White House. Here is Brian Stelter performing his lapdog functions.
Busy summer ahead, infrastructure, election reform. What does the press get wrong when covering Biden's agenda? When you watch the news, when you read the news, what do you think we get wrong?
What do you think we get wrong? What, how is it? Can you imagine asking that to Kayleigh McEnany? What do you think we get wrong about Trump? He would never ask that question. Come on. We all know what this is. How cozy are the press with the White House at this point? So the White House reporter for USA Today tweeted this out yesterday, tweeted out a picture of cookies that Kamala Harris was handing out to members of the White House press corps on Air Force Two. Their picture, I don't know who did this cookie, and maybe they're good at cookie making, but it's a Kamala Harris handed out cookies with an icing picture of Kamala Harris on the cookie, but her face is not on the cookie. It looks, it's like completely, it's completely mushed out. So she just, it's just her head. I don't know what this is. It looks like one of these modern paintings in Italy every so often. You'll get a city will find some local artist to redo like a classic Renaissance work of art, and then it'll look completely deformed. It's like the Ronaldo statue that I love so much, where the face looks nothing like it. So those are the kind of cookies that Kamala Harris is handing out. And the members of the press just eating it up. Kamala Harris is the greatest. Joe Biden's the greatest. What kind of ice cream are you eating today, Joe? Yeah, by the way, people tend to think that the media are helping the Democrats in this. There comes a point where the help begins to hurt because you're not asking them any of the tough questions they require in order to correct policy. So instead of a popular Clintonian presidency, you're going to end up with a very, very unpopular Jimmy Carter presidency because you spend all of your time ass-kissing the people who are promulgating bad policy. Okay, in just one second, we're going to be getting to COVID policy over at the White House and the continuing fibs and sillinesses with regard to Anthony Fauci. First, let's talk about the fact that you need to upgrade your employee base. You need to make your employees better. If you're a business owner who's hiring, you probably face a lot of challenges when it comes to finding the right person for your role. That's why hiring can feel like trying to find the needle in a haystack. Sure, you could post your job to some job board. Then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. That's why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. In fact, ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. It's no wonder over 2.3 million businesses have come to ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. I mean, without ZipRecruiter, we would not have the wonderful Fabiola, who not only does an incredible job with makeup, but also, apparently, I did not know this, can break dance. also is an archer, and she's not great at coming at like walking down hills. I've seen her fall down a hill, but she's great in terms of recovery, like very, very tough. So while other companies overwhelm you with way too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you what you are looking for, the needle in the haystack. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. Once again, remember to go to this unique place, ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. ZipRecruiter is indeed the smartest way to hire. All right, we're going to get to more in a second. First, we all love watching Candace drop truth bombs here at Daily Wire, but we are also huge fans of letting the truth trickle through our headphones on the go. That's why we've made sure that one of her best qualities, logic, can go wherever you go as well. Whether she's asking Donald Trump hard-hitting questions like whether she should hop on his ticket in 2024, or getting Adam Carolla to expose Hollywood conservatives, or giving feminism the roast it deserves with her panel of guests, you're guaranteed a smart, funny listening experience. So subscribe to and download Candace, the audio podcast on Apple, Spotify, or whatever your platform of choice may be. If you like what you hear, be sure to leave a 5-star review. Keep Candace's podcast at the top of the charts. While you're at it, don't stop at Candace. My new series, Debunked, has an audio episode dropping every Saturday. In it, I expose leftists for the frauds they are and their ideology for the silliness it is in only 15 minutes or less. So if you're stepping out for a quick walk, learn how to absolutely destroy the left's talking points surrounding teachers' unions or transgender rights ideology or the minimum wage with every step you take. Don't let the woke roll over you with their baseless accusations and silly lies about science. Listen to Debunked. Prepare yourself for the many unfortunate leftist encounters you may have on a daily basis. Just head on over to Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, subscribe and download Debunked. Your future self will thank you. If you like what you hear, leave a 5-star review. Bump this podcast to the top of the charts. Again, it's a separate podcast called Debunked. Search for it, subscribe, leave a 5-star review. The left hates it when we succeed, so that's always a double win. You're listening to the largest, fastest growing conservative podcast and radio show in the nation. Now, meanwhile, the Biden administration continues to defend the embattled Dr. Anthony Fauci. He's embattled because we've seen his emails over the last year, and it turns out that he's a career bureaucrat who defends his institution above the science. We've known this for a while. He has shifted his opinion on everything based not on the science, based instead on whatever the Biden administration wants from him, or what is considered the most protective viewpoint with regard to the NIAID. That's the institution for which he works. Nonetheless, the Biden administration suggests there are no circumstances under which they would fire Anthony Fauci, which is a hell of a job guarantee. I wouldn't provide that here at Daily. No circumstances, like at all? Like he's caught in flagrante delicto with a horse and nothing? Like it turns out that he personally cooked up. Like I could imagine circumstances. Like, why would you ever say something like this? Seriously, here's Jen Psaki coming out four square with Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Dr. Fauci is a renowned public servant, civil servant, I should say, career civil servant. He's overseen management of multiple global health crises, and the attacks and attacks launched on him are certainly something we wouldn't stand by.
Since you mentioned Dr. Fauci again, can you imagine any circumstance where President Biden would ever fire him?
No.
No? Under any circumstances? Okay, like what if, for example, he knew full well about the fact that the United States had funneled funding via a third party, EcoHealth Alliance, to the Wuhan lab where COVID-19 was developed. And then he had actively played down the possibility of a lab leak for like a year. What if that might be a problem, would it not? Apparently not. Joe Biden says he's still confident in Fauci. Now, to be fair, Joe Biden doesn't know where he is or who Anthony Fauci is. So you always have to take this stuff with a grain of salt. He's about to walk into a wall here.
Mr. President, you call confident in Dr. Fauci?
Yes, I'm very confident,
Dr. He popped his head back out just to say that. It's like a weird groundhog. And meanwhile, I'm not sure why they're so confident in Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci has suddenly become very hawkish on asking China to be compliant with his request for information. He said over the weekend that he would love to see what happened in China in 2019. He said,
I would like to see the medical records of the three people who are reported to have got sick in 2019. Did they really get sick? And if so, what did they get sick with? The same with the miners who got ill years ago. What do the medical records of those people say? It's entirely conceivable the origins of SARS-CoV-2 was in that cave and either started spreading naturally or went through the lab.
Oh, is that conceivable now? Interesting. Fascinating. Like, you spent a year downplaying this thing and saying anybody who mentioned it was ridiculous. That was shortly after you were asked specifically by Rand Paul in public whether you were participating in mask theater. No, I would never participate. And then it turns out, of course, you were participating in mask theater. You're also asked by Rand Paul, once you've had COVID, aren't you immune? And you're like, no, we don't know. So you're really, really bad at your job. But the good news is the administration is going to defend you because at least you're not pro-Trump. And that's the important.
We'll get to more on all this in a moment. First, despite the anticipated rate cuts by financial experts, inflation continues to rise. The U.S. is grappling with a staggering debt of $34 trillion, and yet we're continuing to print more money, driving up the prices of everyday essentials even further. You can bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Consider diversifying at least some of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. As a leading dealer of precious metals in the United States, Birch Gold is committed to helping you discover how gold, silver, and other precious metals can help protect your lifestyle in the face of current and coming economic instabilities. Precious metals have a proven track record over thousands of years. These metals transcend government influence. They're tangible. They can't be printed like paper money or stored as a number on a computer file. Birch Gold makes it easy to own gold. They'll help you convert your existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. You won't pay a penny out of pocket. Gold is part of my savings strategy. I buy it from Birch Gold. Text Ben to 989898. Get your free info kit on gold. They've been the exclusive gold partner of the Daily Wire for over 7 years now, helping thousands of our listeners. They can help you too. Text Ben to 989898 right now. Again, text Ben to 989898 to get started.
Thing. Meanwhile, Anthony Fauci appearing on media, only friendly media, of course, and being asked questions like, why are people so mean to you on MSNBC?
You know, there's this concern. Is it a natural evolution or is it something that happened out of a lab, an accident or what have you? It is important to understand that. But it is being approached now in a very vehement way, in a very distorted way, I believe, by attacking me. I think the question is extremely legitimate. You should want to know how this happened so that we can make sure it doesn't happen again. But what's happened in the middle of all that, I've become the object of extraordinary, I believe, completely inappropriate, distorted, misleading and misrepresented attacks.
Really? Have you now? Interesting. Some of us were actually willing to give Dr. Fauci the benefit of the doubt for like months and months and months. Got a lot of flack for that because people wanted to jump to a conclusion. And then I reached the conclusion that many of them wanted, which is that he's not a good public servant. And now I guess I'm the source of these distorted attacks. Like, what have I said about Fauci that's a distortion? Can anyone name a thing? There's an article in Politico that suggested that I was at the forefront of leading the attacks on Fauci. What have I said about him that's untrue? Seriously, like, name the thing I've said about Fauci that's untrue. You can't, because I have not. I've said far fewer untrue things than Dr. Fauci has. That's for damn sure. Jay Bhattacharya over at Stanford University, who was widely reviled among Democrats for the last year because he had the temerity to suggest that perhaps we ought to aim for herd immunity among the young and healthy, or that perhaps we ought to lower restrictions among the young and healthy while protecting the elderly, which is exactly what Ron DeSantis did in Florida to great success. Bhattacharya went hard after Fauci over the weekend.
He's been all over the place on masks. There's some emails you can find in the treasure trove of emails that have been released where he acknowledges that the virus is aerosolized. Well, the cloth masks that people have been recommending, they're not very particularly effective against aerosolized viruses. I don't really understand his back and forth, and his answer made absolutely no sense. Yeah, you should change your mind when the science changes. But what is that science that changed that convinced him that masks are the most effective way? In fact, like remember the CDC director, Robert Redfield, said the masks were more effective than vaccines. And Dr. Fauci did not contradict him when Dr. Scott Atlas said that was nonsense, which it was. I think his credibility is entirely shot.
Okay, and that is true. His credibility is shot. But here is the thing. For a year, if you contradicted Fauci in any way, or the WHO, or to science, right? Scientific institutions, not the process of science. If you did that, you'd be shut down by Facebook. Right? Misinformation. This is why, you wonder why so many conservatives are upset about social media and their crackdown on particular types of information? Not because we believe that everything you're cracking down on is true and decent. It's because we don't trust you to determine what is true and decent. We do not think you should be the arbiter of truth. So for example, Facebook is now announcing that they have banned Trump for an additional 2 years. According to the New York Times, Facebook said on Friday, Trump's suspension from the service would last at least 2 more years, keeping the former president off mainstream social media for the 2022 midterm elections, as the company also said it would end a policy of treating posts from politicians differently from those of other users. The social network said Trump would be eligible for reinstatement in January 2023 before the next presidential election. Okay, now, regardless of what you feel about Trump, regardless of what you feel about what he said about the election, the notion that Facebook should be deciding what you are allowed to see and hear is completely absurd. It's absurd, especially considering that for the last year, if you said true things about the possibility of a lab leak from Wuhan, you were going to be suppressed on social media. The question isn't about Trump specifically. The question is about what standards do you guys have? And the answer is you don't have any standards other than the arbitrariness of bouncing from wall to wall along with whatever Democrats would like today. If Democrats want you to support a global tax, you'll do it. If Democrats want you to ban Trump, you'll do it. And if Democrats want you to uphold the scientific credibility of people who have lost all credibility like Fauci, you'll do that too. So we don't trust you, nor should we. Alrighty, we'll be back here later today with an additional hour of content. In the meantime, go check out The Michael Knowles Show. He discusses Joe Biden ignoring D-Day to remember the Tulsa race riot of 1921. You can hear more details about that story on Michael's show. That's available right now. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to help spread the word, please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe too. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, be sure to check out the other Daily Wire podcasts, including The Andrew Klavan Show, The Michael Knowles Show, and The Matt Walsh Show. Thanks for listening. The Ben Shapiro Show is produced by Elliot Feld. Executive producer, Jeremy Morin. Our supervising producer is Mathis Glover. And our assistant director is Pavel Wydowski. Editing is by Adam Sayovitz. Audio is mixed by Mike Coromina. Hair and makeup is by Fabiola Cristina. Production assistant is Jessica Kranz. The Ben Shapiro Show is a Daily Wire production. Copyright Daily Wire 2021.
A lecturer at Yale fantasizes about shooting white people. Joe Biden ignores D-Day to remember the Tulsa race riot of 1921. And Facebook bans Trump for another 2 years. Check it out on The Michael Knowles Show.
Burgers are one of the most popular foods in America. You've probably eaten one recently, and you're definitely craving one now that we're talking about it. Make this summer one to remember with Good Ranchers. Right now, listeners will get free Wagyu burgers for a year. If you haven't had their American Wagyu burgers, I was just telling people here in the office, you're definitely missing out. My mouth is watering just thinking about it. Simply go to GoodRanchers.com and subscribe to any of their custom curated boxes filled with 100% American beef, chicken, pork, or wild-caught seafood. Use code DAILYWIRE at checkout to claim your free American Wagyu burgers for a year. Not only is this a $400 value, but you'll also get a free bacon butter gift that's the perfect bacon topping for any burger. And in case you needed any other reason to support Good Ranchers, they support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Every order you make saves American farms and directly supports American veterans. Change the way you buy your meat today. Go to GoodRanchers.com and use code DAILYWIRE to claim your free burgers for a year and support veterans this Memorial Day season. That's GoodRanchers.com. Use code DAILYWIRE. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.